Blog Talk Radio.
Let's start the show. Good evening, and welcome to the world premiere podcast, The Attic. Messenger, baby sis, baby bruh, Nurse Carmen, Sister Tippy, Triple OG, that's the cast, and of course, co-producer. Let's get ready to podcast. Yeah, hang out with The Attic. Because we'll definitely take you there. Good evening, podcast audience. This is the world premiere podcast, The Attic, coming at you live and direct, unfiltered. So you're about to hear our thoughts as we verbalize them. So I like to say you're going to hear what we're thinking at the time we're thinking it. It's not a recorded show. Right now, we have the nation is kind of immersed in race relations, and the real fucked up part about it is it's always been here. It's always been here because this level of hatred, this level of bias towards a group of people, this shit just don't happen overnight. And as we go down this podcast road, again, as a people, all the fuck we did for this country is build it. Huh? We were out there picking that damn cotton, raising kids. We did that shit. So if you look at the structure right now, what the hell has it ever been done by a person of color to you that would allow this level of hatred to fester inside of you? I mean, that's the perspective I speak from, because I don't understand that shit. We have the aftermath of that senseless killing of George Floyd. Now, I got to say, because people started tearing shit up, now swift justice or an attempt at swift justice is taking place. So I have to ask the American people, is that what it took to make justice roll as you said it should roll? And here's the real danger in that. Because you allow police officers to go way left of center without any kind of repercussions, now, when they go left, you're coming at them very hard. A couple of officers have been fired. A police chief quit. This shit wasn't happening before people started tearing shit up. Here's the hidden and really, really fucked up message that you sent. The next crisis in this nation, if people can't get your attention, well, what are they going to do? They're going to start tearing shit up again. See, it should not have had to get to this point for you to understand. I can't really believe, I'm sorry, that in fucking 2020, black people are still fighting to be recognized as a person. 2020, we had a black president. But that shit don't seem to mean nothing. It don't seem to mean nothing to those who have their lives set on keeping a race of people down. And I got to say, if this had been a conversation in the sex 60s or 70s, we'd be talking about those who are you know, keeping the white man down, the white man keeping us down. But I got to tell you, that white man is still keeping us down. But I want to tell you, white people are joining in the fight. White people are playing, again, they may have their own real battle they're fighting, but right now it's a sign of support. And because you have that black and white support, shit is going to get bad for a while. But because you have that black and white support, see, the nation probably didn't count on that. When this whole plan was put together that we're going to tear shit up again, they probably didn't factor in that at some level, black and white people were going to learn to coexist. In fact, love each other. So I don't know. I just see it as something that's crazy in this nation that in 2020, I got a little carried away with my monologue there, but I just think it's crazy. In 2020, black people are still fighting to be fucking recognized, man. We have value. Black lives, my life matter. And when we talk about the Black Lives Movement, I want to say to everybody, I want to say to everybody, there's no need to fucking correct me when I say Black Lives Matter, and then you come back with some shit like All Lives Matter. Let me tell you something. Everybody else understands that. There's no need to say White Lives Matter. You know damn well everybody understands that. You don't see police officers senselessly killing white people because they know there's going to be a price to pay for that shit. So when you see Black Lives Matter, stop trying to correct me with All Lives Matter. All Lives Matter, that part, everybody in the world understands. You just don't seem to grasp that my fucking life matter. Hey, how we doing tonight, Cass? Is everybody still? Everybody with me?
We hanging in there, my brother.
Yep, we're here.
Okay. All right, somebody give me some really bad.
Man, these black men they always talking about.
All right. Okay. Okay, now I know. Hey, Triple OG, what's going on, man?
No, it's a little wet outside.
All right. Yeah, so you ain't got none of that sunny Florida shit today.
No,
Florida shit. All right, message. I'm sorry.
Did you hear about what New York did? New York City Police Department did? The commissioner?
No, what they do?
Expanded their anti-crime unit. 600 men were told to go back to old units. But they found out that 2% of the New York City Police Department since the year 2000 accounted for 31% of cop shootings. 2% accounted for one-third of all the shootings. He got rid of the whole damn unit. They all went back to what they used to do before they became super...
Okay. I mean, you know, like I was saying, because right now is probably the first time in a while you see police officers quitting their job, like in Atlanta. You know, that's some new shit. Because now that people are starting to really, really raise their voice in anger, they understand that, and I'll bet you that police captain that quit, she knew her shit was rotten. But as nobody was saying nothing, okay, I guess I got to roll with that. And I want to say something else about that. A lot of black people, you see those black police officers or black police chiefs, and you wonder, how can that shit go on? Well, it kind of depends on the number. If you got a black police chief, but not a whole lot of black police officers, I mean, okay, you still got a chief. But, Chief, you ain't really, really, really running shit. I'll bet you there's a go-between that's laying shit down. I mean, does that make sense? So when we see these black policemen, you know, of rank, don't always think that just because they got some shit on their collar that they are actually making decisions. Nah, that ain't how that go. I don't think. Now, watch this. That's what I seen on TV. It didn't go like that. Yeah, okay. We'll get up out of that. But, you know, let's go down to Atlanta. I mean, God, dog.
Mm-hmm.
You just put Brother Floyd to rest, and now you pop off another black man. Wait a minute, in the back. And
right.
Baby, bro, go ahead. And I know you done seen the video. Who seen the video? Nobody?
Yes,
I saw the video.
All right, so somebody describe the video, because I want to talk about that. Tell me what you've seen in the video.
Pretty much just seen a cop that didn't really want to do his job, and he did his job the easy way by shooting the guy in his back. Because,
okay,
once again, like I said before, if you've been listening at the beginning of this show, way back when, as far as with the revolution, what I meant by is not going to happen until white people join in and start complaining with black people. Now they're starting to listen. I don't know if they're going to do anything, though, but now, because it's not only black people out there marching, it's white people. They got to listen.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Why did he have to say that shit like, I told y'all niggas, like you, Nostradamus, or some, you know what I'm saying?
Do you remember back when I kept talking about the revolution?
Man.
I kept saying you need white people into that revolution, because we done went through this back during the what, 50s and 60s.
All I'm saying is, I mean, it was a good point. I'm not knocking the point, but I'm just saying you said that shit like all credit comes right here. You know what I'm saying?
I know sometimes y'all don't listen.
Okay,
I know y'all don't listen sometimes.
All right, you said
I
own that
myself
shit.
I told you.
Can I say something?
Go ahead, sir.
When I watched that video, to me, it just gave me more confirmation.
All right, what did you see?
Tell me what you've seen. First and foremost, I see that police officers definitely should not be the first responders to all situations.
I'm talking about I haven't seen the video. I'm saying take me through the video.
Yeah, here's what happened. The guy was sitting in his car at Wendy's. He was drunk, and somehow or another they called the police. So then when he was sitting in his car asleep, he was drunk. So then somebody called the police. Then when the police showed up, they tried to give him one of those tests to see if he's drunk or not. He failed that. Then he told him, look, my sister lived a couple blocks away. I can walk to her house. I'll leave my car here. I can walk to her house, because he wasn't driving really. But then they started trying to arrest him, and he said, not tonight. And he was a little big guy, and he started tussling with him. And in this tussling, he was able to grab hold of one of their
Can we pause 1 second, my brother? They called the police because he was asleep in the car, because he was blocking, if I'm not mistaken, he was blocking
the drive-through.
So he was in his car.
The keys was in the car. All right, okay.
And he was in the car, and he was blocking the drive-thru. That's why they called the
okay, so
the
once
police.
The cops come, he won't go. They start tussling. What happened?
Then he started tussling, then he got the upper hand. And
in
the tussling, he grabbed hold of the taser, and he started running. And then I think they fired a shot at him, but he turned around and fired the taser at him. And when he fired the taser at him, they put two in him.
But they shot him in the...
He turned around and kept going.
They had body cam and video from the Wendy's. They were out of the car, you know, talking at first. They went to cuff him, and he started to run. They tussled with him. He grabbed the taser from the police officer. The cop is yelling, you know, let go of the taser, let go of the taser. He ran, turned, and aimed the taser at him. Taser isn't a life-threatening weapon by any stretch. and he aimed the taser at the cop, and the cop fired twice or more at guy as he ran away.
But as I said, when I watched that, that confirmed to me that I don't feel police officers should be first responders on all these
Agreed.
Situations. And to me that confirmed it, because to come to that situation with a gun, it just didn't warrant that. So that's why I just feel they should not be first responders on all these type of calls. They have to sit down. The powers that be have to sit down and figure this thing out. But therein lies the problem. They're being called for situations, and they're coming with guns, and it just, to me, it escalates the problem and takes it to a whole other level. And it always goes left.
What they're doing is they're overreacting because that adrenaline in their body.
And a lot of times they're just not equipped to handle it. So I don't feel they should be first responders on a lot of these calls. Like I said,
hey,
I don't know. They need to sit down.
The bottom line is,
they got him out of the car. They got him. They awakened him and had him pull over. And they got him out of the car, and they talked to him and then did a field sobriety test, which he failed. But they didn't know he was drunk when they got here. He could have been having a heart attack. I mean, they probably should have called medics. You know,
he could have been on medication.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
But
that's
the bottom
on
the line,
should not be the first
they put two in his back. But the bottom line is they put two in his back.
Right.
I don't care how you slice
and,
that.
And how do you?
Right, because they come and they escalate it. They take it to a whole nother level.
But I'm saying,
they come with a gun. And they're not equipped to handle stuff.
But as a police officer, I'm sorry. How the fuck do you arrive at that sense of that level of conscious that you shoot somebody in their back, man? No,
that's the way you're being trained.
How is a taser life threatening?
Again, it's like you're bringing a gun to a knife fight or something. It didn't call for all that. The situation didn't warrant all that.
When you're being trained like that, that's how you respond. That's how you react, especially when that adrenaline is flowing.
Like
now,
you said, maybe an EMT or something like that should have been the first responder. I don't really think a cop should have been the call that
let me,
was made.
Let me just correct that,
too.
Also, only when it pertains to arresting or coming to a call on a black person, that adrenaline starts to flow. Sometimes one cop can show up, and next thing you know, five, six cops show up, and then things tend to escalate because that's how they're not capable of handling or de-escalating that situation. So
but
it
as
always,
a police, as a police
capable,
officer,
they just choose not to. They are capable.
Yeah.
Wait,
because
well,
if they can handle it with a
black
person.
Think about this for a minute. They're capable. But think about this for a minute.
They come there with the wrong mindset.
You come into
so
a you're
not
police
the one,
officer.
Not, they shouldn't be the.
You all right? You as a police officer, you come into a set. You come into a situation. You give the guy a sobriety test. You confirm by your bullshit standards that he's drunk. If he turns or runs away, does it really take a fucking rocket scientist to figure out how far and how fast can somebody drunk run?
And not only that, they had his car and his license and everything, so they know where he lives.
Let him run.
Damn, man. Go ahead, baby.
I totally agree with all of that, but what I'm saying is this is back to how they're talking about, well, I think they're using, again, the wrong wording, but they're saying defund the police. But I just think the money should be allocated and other people should be, and not them, the first responders on a lot of these calls, because they're being called to come to situations that I really don't think they need to be called for.
Okay, so
at least
who's to determine who's to come?
Well, that's what I said. The powers that be need to sit down collectively and figure that out. You've got some situations that they might be coming into that may be mental health. Somebody from mental health might need to be the first responder.
Right.
It all depends on what the situation is. That's why the powers that be, the ones that legislative, the law, the law givers or whatever, have to sit down and figure it out. But it's got to be a better way. Because what we've been doing is not working.
The shit worked in Camden, right?
Right, the
shit
better way.
Well, because they reorganized it. They're doing it differently.
The better way is to get racist police off the police force. Because you can't determine, like, for instance, just using him for an instance. Nobody don't really know. He could have been dead. He could have got shot. It could have been all
exactly
kinds of different
right.
situations. So nobody don't really know. So it's not about this, the responder. It's about how they're reacting.
It is about
when
the responder because if he was dead, then if an EMT was the first responder, that would have been the more appropriate person to respond because they would have been able to assist him medically, not a
right,
cop.
Right, but the point I'm saying is, who determines that? Someone's got to be first to determine who's going to be there, who's coming. You can't just automatically call this EMT worker just because
maybe
he's there.
Be
you don't know what the situation is.
Again, that's why I said they have to sit down and figure this out. But the way they're doing it, it's not working. Clearly, that's not working.
Messenger, I agree with you 1,000%. They can change the system all they want to. If they don't get rid of those racist cops, I don't care how they change it, it's going to be the same.
You can't really say he was racist.
Absolutely. But they also have to reorganize it. It has to be restructured.
They tend to overreact. And when you're a policeman, that's like a family in its own. When you're a policeman, they look out for their own. So regardless of whatever you do, if you shoot somebody, they're going to find it justifiable. Regardless if you got the tape down or whatever, they're looking at it like that. I mean, they're changing it now because of these last couple of incidents. But when you're a policeman, you have the backing of the court, of their prosecutor, and they're going to find you not guilty. That's why you had that immunity.
What do we say when they show up there and it's a white person and they put that same white person in the back of their car and drive them home and tell them to put him to bed? It goes a little bit deeper than that
because also too, with the police, they feel like just like some doctors that black people can tolerate more pain than white people. That's why you see them jump on black people like that. And they be fighting them like that. That's why they were beating Rodney King like that.
Hello?
I got it.
Hello?
Hey, so instead of, I think the answer is not necessarily or not as easy as get rid of racist police, but I read a statistic that said that cosmetology students, like hairdressers and nail techs, go through something like 1,600 hours of training, and police officers get something like 600. Doesn't that seem a little off to anybody?
I'm going to say to that is this. If the killings were equal, then I could understand that statistic. I could understand that level of training. But wait a minute, hold on. So I understand that level. But when you have young white boys going into schools, shooting up, mass murders, and on the news you see them walking out in handcuffs, come on. So we know they can do it. They just choose not to do it when it's a person of color. Yeah,
but you got to remember,
we know they can do it.
From the history,
don't understand my position in all this.
From the history of all this, black people have been deemed more dangerous, let's say, than white people.
I understand.
But before you go any further with that, baby boy, they've been deemed it. Been deemed it by who? You understand what I'm saying? So it still leads back. They've been deemed by the special police force to catch the slaves. So this
exactly.
is where it all started.
Exactly. That's what
so
I'm saying. If you go back, that's where it all came from. And up until this day, they still feel like that. That's the training that they get. And also, too, as a young black man, if you're out there and the cops approach you on something, first thing in your mind, if you notice with the guy, he was being cooperative right up until when they started to arrest him. In his mind, he just knew, I ain't going to jail. And that's when he started fighting. He sat up there nice and calm and was talking to him until the other cop showed up and tried to put his hand behind his back to arrest him. And something in his mind just triggered, you know what, I'm not with that. Every black man, when they get pulled over by a cop, they don't know if this is going to be good or this is going to be bad.
That's correct, but there are some white cops that handle the situation a whole lot different.
Yeah.
Cops out there that handle it different. So yeah, you've got to look at...
We're just going to show you that some cops already show up with their mind made up when they hear that call over the radio. And
so
they
if you show up with your mind already made up, I'm going to kill me a nigga today, what does that make you?
Well, it ain't so much kill. It might start, I'm going to beat this one down.
They're dying. They're dying. So it is kill. They're dying. Two in the back, they're dying. So
you have that immunity. You have that immunity. Everybody get together and collaborate and tell one story. Prosecutor roll with that. Throw that story at the grand jury. Letting them know it ain't really nothing to see here. They find that man not guilty.
So if you get with your boys and you guys decide, okay, we're going to cover up for each other, I'm going to say it again. What is it? It's racism.
Yeah.
I don't care how you try to paint it or situation. That's what it is. Because if you've already got a made up mind that if it's a black person, anything out of the norm, I'm shooting. Even though in the midst of these different rallies and riots and all of this stuff that's going on, you're still doing the same thing that they're accusing you of? That's something that's deep in you. That's just not something that shot out overnight. And I did some other research on Floyd. That cop that killed Floyd, he used to work with him. He worked with him. Floyd was a bouncer at a club. Floyd worked the inside, and the cop worked the outside door. So he knew him and still did that to him.
On this thing in Atlanta, there is a story out there that supposedly these two cops, instead of going to this man to see if he was alive or dead, put on plastic gloves and went around collecting the shells. Why
yeah,
would
hello.
They
yeah.
Watching
yeah.
each
were they
other's back.
The
Get
shells?
Their story together.
I just find it interesting.
Police take care of their own. So number
what,
one, you want to sit up there and snitch on a cop. It was a movie out back in the day, the 70s, called Serpico. It was a cop that told on other bad cops. And he had to end up retiring because no other cop wanted to work with him because
right.
he dimed the bad cops out.
Now, let me
and
say this here.
When you're in that type of situation, you can't work with cops like that because they're your backup. When you out there on a call and if they feel a certain type of way about you, they might let you walk into an ambush as opposed to backing you up.
But now let me say
that's
this.
Right. The only color
they
see is blue, not black.
Exactly.
Or
that's
white.
What I said.
They speak
blue.
But what's that police organization, again, I'm glad it is as strong as it is a lot of times. But you're right. When you're out there, all they see is blue. But then the blue just sees black. So, again, if these killings, I mean, these unjustified homicides, if that shit was happening across the board, somewhat evenly, then we could say it's training. But I'm going to tell you, all the money in the world ain't going to change. Just time is the only thing I know that's going to change somebody's attitude about another person. So all this money they want to spend and whatever, that's not going to help. And let me tell you something. It may be time that we get introduced to a different type of police. Because if this police here, if this whole police force foundation here derived from catching slaves, well, we need to redo the whole system. Because if our base if what our force is about, where we come from, is about justice for all, then that can start to be ingrained in police officers. Does that make sense? So I'm with the whole redo the whole I am. I'm with throw this shit out and let's come up with something else. And I'm a firm believer. I'm sorry. And I know most people on this on the cast don't believe me. I believe that nobody should be carrying guns. If you have guns, they should be in your house. Nobody should be carrying guns, and that includes the police officers. If they need them, then you call for assistance. Now, don't get me wrong. I know there may be some cases. It's not going to be 100%. There's going to be times where you arrive and before backup get there, I mean, some shit might happen. And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that's okay. But I think that in time, that won't happen. If the laws are changed, that you commit a crime with a gun, you know, some bad shit happened to you. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead.
In my opinion, as a cop, how can you sit up there and say, like, when a crime is committed in the streets know something, but nobody's talking. But yet, as a cop, you can sit up there and watch another cop do something wrong and don't say a word. You're just as guilty as saying this to the street. They know what happened, but they ain't nobody talking.
Yeah, they want us to snitch, but they won't snitch.
Exactly. And the guy that had his knee on his neck, he was training the other two cops when they took Floyd down. So they're just pretty much going to be learning what this guy is showing them, how to deal with somebody, maybe how to deal with black people.
And maybe the next time one of those cops get the chance to put their knee on somebody's neck, a bunch of cameras won't be around. So that means that'll go as an unsolved case. Nobody will hear about that. But again, I don't know what this nation is going to do, but they have to do something that's going again, everybody got to feel safe, man.
Right, you know, and I understand. I just want to say this. I understand what Baby Girl was talking about as far as sending people out, but that's a process that in the whole new makeover of things, we've got to kind of learn. But in the meantime, the police should be able to do whatever you're sending them out there for. They just got to get out of that mindset of if you're black and you do anything that I don't like, you die. If they get out of that mindset, you can send the police out on anything because then they'll have the ability to be able to determine, okay, should I get an EMT out? Should I get a psychiatrist out? Should I get a drug person out? They'll be able to do that, but they've got to get rid of that mindset. If you're black and you're going to die.
They've been complaining for years that they shouldn't be getting calls out for all the things that they've been considered the first responders for. They've even been complaining about that themselves.
Right. I've been complaining for years. They got me doing stuff on my job that I shouldn't be doing. But you know what I mean? So we don't complain.
I'm just saying the fact of the matter is a lot of times with them being the first responders and knowing how they, you know, again, it's just equivalent to bringing a gun to a knife fight. A lot of times when you're coming with that kind of mentality that you already have, and you're coming to escalate a situation that if someone else, again, more equipped in that area could handle it, it wouldn't even go left the way a lot of these situations have been going, I feel and believe a lot of things could have been handled and avoided.
You're right. It's just the one thing that you said that they've got to change, and it's on them. They've got to change that mindset. And as soon as they change that mindset, then things can go smooth. They might show up and be there just until the EMT arrives, and then they can leave.
Well, they're not going to change that mindset. And so we're going to have to do what we have to do. And that
and
means
we're going to have to get rid of them.
Like I said, they're saying, they're using the word defund. Well, yes, that too. Yeah, we have to do that too. But also, a lot of money is being allocated to them, and it shouldn't be. And that's what I meant by reorganizing and restructuring.
And that's what
the
they're
going to
do.
The way things have been going, stuff has to change.
A lot of the money, A lot of the money that they've been getting for
cops. Stuff has to be reorganized and restructured.
Well,
this
again,
is a process. It's like
It's a process, but it's a process that's got to start with getting rid of bad cops.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Again, I totally
we got to start there,
and
then you start because again, if I'm just determined, and again, I'm not saying by no means am I saying all cops, because I have a lot of police officer friends. I do. So when I say cops, I'm talking about those who put that uniform on or put that badge on and go out with the intent to do harm to anybody. It just so happens right now that all the intent seems to be going towards black people. But any police officer who intentionally his purpose is to harm another person, then again, those are the people I'm talking about. You got to get rid of. Everybody, you got to go. And it's not hard. You know, they got them Briggs-Myers tests. They got psychological shit that they can do. In fact, if you ask most of them just by the way they answer, you'll be able to tell who needs to go.
People, what's the deal on the cop? Let's say they got fired in New York. He can leave there and go get a job down in Atlanta. Now, they got a database on people, but they ain't got no database on bad cops.
Or if they don't in Atlanta.
He can pretty much go back down to Atlanta and do that down there then.
I always thought that part of the introduction to is psychological tests. They no longer do that?
They still do that.
Well, you can hire
crazy.
So how
the hell are these going through it?
You can hire crazy. I done messed with a couple of bitches that I thought were sane, and they turned out to be some crazy bitches. You can hire crazy.
I guess I've lived quite a long time here.
No. You know what it is? Listen, when they go through the psychological test, you got to understand the magnitude of this institutionalized shit. If I'm going through the psychological test and I know the police captain in the precinct or the person in charge of that area is with that whole concept of let's kill black people, then it don't matter what your psychological tests say. In fact, based on your psychological test, I'll know where to send you. Wherever I want to do the most harm, you know, your test shows me you're the guy to get that done. So they may be doing the test, but the person making a decision on pass or fail, see, you got to look at that person also. This shit is deep. There's so many levels to this type of – when you have a police organization worldwide that pretty much operates under the same principle that black people's lives don't really matter. And if you kill one, don't worry. It'll take you a couple of reports, but you'll be okay. When that is the concept that's being, I don't know, because I'm sure it's not being openly taught, but you don't have to teach me how to like somebody, how to dislike somebody by telling me to dislike them. I could just see how you talk about them, or when they become a subject matter in the class, how you refer to them. But you didn't tell me not to like them. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So when we talk about the institutional levels of this shit, it's pretty deep. And I think in order to get rid of it, you got to wipe it out and start over. I think that's just me.
Well, what you do is you take out of the hands of the police department the psychological testing. Give it to an independent group of doctors and let them do it. I understand what you're saying, that if my police captain is going to do the testing on me, he's going to cover my behind.
But
make
you know
it,
what I
make
did?
An independent organization handle this thing.
You know one idea that I heard? One idea I heard that I really like this. And that's the Citizens Action Committee, a committee of citizens that police the police. No police officers, you know what I'm saying? Non-police, non-police officers. You can't be a police officer to be on a committee.
New York has a police review board, and it still happens. Those review boards,
that's because of that union. That PBA is just too powerful now.
Once again, you got to put shit together. We're talking about putting shit back together. We ain't talking about the shit that you have now. I'm talking about a civil action review board that is 98% in favor of the people who live there, or 75% in favor of the people who live there. And when they look at it, we have to give them concrete credentials. So police officers know when that review board writes some shit up on your ass, something is going to happen to you. Not just have a board in place. It's got to be a board that's got authority and the ability to make decisions. And again, I don't care how police officers might not like that. I know they're going to think that's going to hinder them from doing their job, but it's going to make you do the actual job better. That's just me.
I have a problem with your concept. My worry is who decides who's on these boards? Who picks the board? And what is it composed of? Or who is it composed of? There's too many variables in this thing.
No, that's just the
it's very simplistic.
That's just the concept. It is. Because, again, if you're being funded to do a thing with Overwatch to make sure you do it the way it's written to be done, it can be done very easily. And I believe that.
I agree with you. Something has to be done.
Even right now, listen, the fact that these police officers are quitting, getting charged with murder, fired, being arrested. Now, let me tell you something. Those who have that high level of hate, it's going to take a minute for them to understand that it's just a matter of time before you get caught also. But those who got that I'm on the fence type shit, see, that has backed them up. Again, I keep saying there's levels to this shit, man. Everybody ain't the hardcore racist. You got some people who's the partner of the hardcore racist. You got some people you know what I'm saying? The fact that police officers are now being charged, put in jail, the partner of the hardcore racist, well, you probably just want him back over to doing regular police work. Now, the hardcore racist, he's still going to be there for a minute, but he probably slowed down. So I'm just simply saying the best way I've always thought to stop this shit is when it happens, immediately bring that officer to, and I do mean immediate, there need to be a new process for this. Immediately bring that officer to trial, and if he's innocent, put his ass back to work. But if he's guilty, then he got to go to jail, or he got to serve the crime like everybody else. And when you send that message to police officers, they will become police officers instead of some other shit, man. That's what I
can think. I ask you a question here?
Ooh, yeah.
Will they be entitled to the same steps in the judicial system that anybody else is? Or are we going to...
No. They become criminals now, and they get due process like everybody else. We ain't going to ramp. No, they don't get ramrod. But if you're a police officer and you have an unjustified shooting, well, first thing is you're going to be fired, you're going to be charged, you're going to be put in jail. If the shooting warrants a bail, you get that. Oh, yeah, you all get right. We're not trying to do anybody dirty. Because we're doing a different version of bullshit than what they did.
With the police, if you was able to bring charges up against the police, do you know how that would just bog down the court system even more?
Well, the system maybe.
That's why police get that immunity. That's part of the reason why they get that immunity. But sometimes in order to build something, you got to burn shit down and build it back up.
Bad choice of words, my man.
No, those are
that's just what they did in Atlanta. They burnt down that Wendy's?
Yeah. You got to burn shit down. Like this girl, last week tonight, like this girl said, I don't own that. That ain't my building. I don't give a shit about that building.
Hey, did you know it was a white lady that burned Wendy's down?
Huh?
Yeah. Yep.
It was a white lady that burned Wendy's down.
But like he said, well, go ahead, take credit for that. Tell him what you told him, baby, bro. Tell him about the revolution.
Well, I mean, one thing, I'm just, you know, hey, you can give me that shit. My birthday coming up, so just put that shit in the card and send me my residual.
but listen, watch this now. Let me show you how backwards our justice system is. The protesters who was out there burning shit up, and I got to tell you, I say this mixed because it was four people and all of them were white. Well, four people, all of them were white. I hate that anybody did that or going to jail, but it shows the dynamics of this revolution that's taking place. So I don't say that I'm happy anybody's going to jail, but you know, as you look for the silver lining in every cloud, it shows the dynamics, man, because I know everybody thought that was somebody black out there. So, again, everybody coming together to fight some injustice, man, that's how it's going to get done. But also, it's making the justice system do something.
But do you think with these police departments getting all this military gear and stuff, do you not think they wasn't going to use that stuff? They got it for a reason to use it.
Well,
it might have been at first maybe on black people and people of color, but now they don't give a shit.
No, listen. Again, I go back to – watch this, and I'm serious. I go back to the dynamics of the people in the protests. If everybody out there was black – Or if everybody out there was black, if black was a major, predominant person, they would have got to use that riot gear. Same protest,
yeah.
But just let everybody be black. But the fact that crowd was so denominational, intercultural, interracial, they couldn't do what they wanted to do because they still, at the end of the day, understand that some people have a privilege that we're going to lean on, but right now we're not going to abuse that privilege that they have.
I was thinking about that, but I seen it on TV. I didn't catch where it was. They made the 12. I say she's about maybe 12 maybe, white girl. They pepper sprayed in the face.
Because one of the things we're missing is what they saw. Once they saw that those white folks was out there with the black folks, they said, okay,
black.
You want to be with them,
exactly.
Then we'll treat you like them. Because you got to remember when them people came to Michigan, to the state capitol? Not one pepper spray was sprayed. With the guns, yes. Not one pepper spray, nothing.
Right, absolutely.
Once again,
imagine a bunch of blacks
thing,
went up.
But I spoke on that a couple of weeks back, too.
Yeah, I remember. It's just still ingrained in my mind. But I have a thought that part of the white participation in this movement of late, and I think you had 2 months of pent-up frustration of being in the house.
Yeah, that helped.
And I suggest that if it wasn't for the virus, I don't think the outpouring would have been as much. Yes, there'd have been some. But I give like 25-30% of the people out there in the street, white folks out there in the street, was this pent-up frustration.
Well, yes. Plus, also, you got to remember, they thought a lot of times when we talk about this, they say we just talking. That's the way they saw it. But like you said, because they were like locked up in the house because of the virus, they got to see it for themselves. And they said, you know what? Maybe they ain't just talking. Maybe this is happening. And then time and time again, they kept seeing it. And then the goodness in them stepped up. Because there is a lot. Remember, Martin Luther King had people, like folks that were doing all that they could. Malcolm X even had white folks that wanted to help. So there are good folks out there. I got Sister T on my back. She got my back, right, Sister T?
I'm not saying that they
know,
got
disconnected.
It was a joke.
Oh, you got disconnected.
It was.
The numbers. The numbers. I was totally shocked when I looked at the crowds and seeing these faces. The numbers. I mean, this thing's all over the world. You see that crowd in Berlin?
See, that's the beauty of this. It's happening all over the world.
Absolutely. And listen, I'm glad if that's what it took. That's what it took. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying I'm not attributing anything bad to it.
I hear you. And again, it is sad that in 2020, that's what it took. Because it shouldn't have to be that way. I mean, again, I'm glad, and I keep saying this because it's very important, that people of all colors are looking at this injustice. And again, right now, if they're looking at this injustice based on police brutality, then we can get them to look at the justice on income inequality. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? Once you open somebody's eyes to something, most people want, now that I see it, let me understand it better. And when you really, really get a chance to understand the plight of the black man in this country we call America, again, you may weep for a minute, because this is some bullshit that people of color unnecessarily had to go through in this nation, and only because of the color of their skin. It was easy to differentiate you from the masses. So therefore, not only are we going to separate, but we're going to take some bottom line pledge from back in the 1700s that we will never treat you as equal. And that's a very sad, I do see that not being the way anymore, though. I got to tell you, I never really thought I'd say this, but I do see that changing. It's going to be about another 50 years, but I see it changing. And this unfortunate situation or life set of circumstances, again, it regenerated my hope that one day everybody in this country, man, will just be Americans. There's no need to put labels on black American, white American, Hispanic. No, just American. And everybody will get treated, I mean, pretty much the same. And I don't think that's a damn lot to ask of any nation. I don't think that's a lot to ask of any government.
You see, it's just kind of like with the Klan. They used to wear the sheets, and then they took the sheet, they exchanged the sheets for suits.
Yeah.
You follow me? Like with that Confederate flag. That's why I always thought the Confederate flag was wrong to be hanging anywhere. They shouldn't have been having no statues up with anybody that fought in that Confederate war and lost. Now, if they won, sure, you could put up as many monuments as you want to. But y'all lost. And y'all lost what? A fight over freeing the slaves. But yet, you were still flying that flag.
You still were allowed to have those reminders of what it was like. And sometimes, I'm sure you probably looked at some of those statues and go, oh, boy, those were the days. No, but you don't need to think like that, because those weren't the days.
Because tell me, am I wrong or am I crazy? But if you taught your child to love and treat everybody the same, Wouldn't that be a quicker way to get rid of racism as opposed to teaching your child to hate? Because a lot of kids, as you grow up, you see, you react to what your parents react to. If your parents like something, you like something. If they don't like something, you don't like that. Because you've been taught not to like that through them.
Absolutely.
Whether you understand that or not.
A child isn't born a bigot. A child is taught to be a bigot. Nobody's born to be a bigot.
And that's why this is able to keep going on and on and on and on. It's like running a relay race. Somebody's always picking up that baton.
Absolutely.
And running with it, like Trump did. He picked that baton up and he ran with it. He ain't got to have the whole country behind him. All he needs is a couple of people behind him from the country.
And those couple of people have big checkbooks to finance the shit that he want to get done.
There you go. Especially, it's one thing when you threaten power with losing that power.
Well, there's money to be made in bigotry. There's money to be made in bigotry.
Sure.
But you know what, though? When you talk about power and losing that power, you ain't losing shit. You lose.
But in your mind, you think you are.
In your mind, you do. But you still just as powerful as you were, except for now you're just powerful over more people, if that's what it is that you had. But the only difference now is, if I understand your power and I work through my own means to achieve the same level of power, then you shouldn't be upset with that. Now, again, you know, most powerful people, you can have some, but when you're some begins to look like a lot, well, now I got to cut you off. And that's a you know, again, sometimes I wish that was a problem that I had. We're throwing around millions. Go ahead.
It's kind of like being the president. You think the president got the power to do certain things? No, Congress actually has that power. They can nip a lot of shit in the bud from the president.
They had that power, not no more. They ain't got shit no more.
Well, Republicans still in power.
Everything is the president right now.
Republicans had that power. They still do until they get out of power. That's why they only get a president 8 years in that office. Actually, 4. You can do 8. That's fine. That's good by you. But if you can't, as long as we keep the control of the Senate and the House, we good. We make the laws and do all that. You're just our front man. You're like our spokesman. We'll give you a little bit of power.
Well, on that note, Let me get back to that Confederate flag just for a second. NASCAR just said, yeah, we don't want the Confederate flag is no longer welcome here. Now, let me tell you something. I don't know if that's a game. I don't know what the fuck that was. But NASCAR? Come on now. If that ain't a sign that things might be getting better, because that was redneck territory.
Still is.
I was in Bristol, Tennessee, and a friend of mine was going to take me to a race. I never seen it before, and no shit. Just from the parking lot to the gate, I changed my mind and we went the fuck back home. And nobody said a word to me. Nobody called me no names. Nobody called me just from walking from the car to the gate.
You got the message. Man,
yeah, I don't feel comfortable here, man, and I'm not going to sit through this race like that, man. I am so serious. So
for them
to take down that Confederate flag, it no longer flies there. It's not on the cars anymore. I think that was major. And not only was it major, now when folk go to NASCAR, without that, you know, that flag is a constant reminder of some shit. It might ease your mind a little bit. It might allow you to think about some different shit rather than that Confederate flag on cars or on the pole waving at your ass.
Mm.
So, you know, I mean, honestly, big hand clap to to NASCAR, man. That was major. And again, it now opens up NASCAR to black people also. Now, I don't know if that's some shit that black people want to do, but
They got one black driver now.
Every sport they've kept black people out of.
By the way.
Wait a minute. Let me finish there. Every sport that they've kept. Hold on one second, OG. Every sport that they've kept people out of, I mean black people out of, when we got in, we kind of made it different. And watch out, NASCAR, because you're going to get some different competition. Go ahead, OG.
Well,
we close out.
I beg to differ real quick. Black people know when they drive fast, they get pulled over. So that's going to take a while to get that out of their mind.
The driver who asked this to be done, I find it very interesting that his name is Bubba. Bubba Wallace. Can you imagine Bubba? Trouble name is Bubba.
Hey, I'd like to say this real quick. Bro, I remember you said earlier you think it's going to be another 40, 50 years. I seem to think that it's going to be much sooner. If we are to win the races come, you know, later this year, I think you'll start to see an automatic change. And the reason I say that is because for a good part of this, Democrats, they kind of act like they were on our side, but they really weren't. But with this new breed of Democrats in there, they are truly shooting for equality. And this is why things are starting to happen now. So I don't think it's going to be 40 or 50 years. Honestly, I think within the next 5 or 10 years.
And with that note, hey, this is co-producer for the Podcast Addict. Please download the podcast on Blog Talk Radio. Hey, we just some folks from Jersey giving you our point of view on how we see shit. Can't ask for no more. Hey, let's say goodnight, Cass, and I'll see you next week.
Good night, everyone.
Peace. Peace, everybody.
I ain't going to sleep. Good night.